Welcome to the Inspired Women Podcast, where your hosts connect you with inspirational women from around the globe and chat about topics relevant to today's modern woman. Here are your hosts.
Hi, my name is Megan Hall. I'm the founder of Megan Hall Motivation. I help busy women order their chaos and create the life that they want to live. And this is episode number 4 with my lovely co-host, Jules. And take it away, Jules.
We're live from New York State and city. I'm Jules. I am the CEO of Julie Clyde Creative, and we brand female entrepreneurs to distinguish themselves from everyday brands in the marketplace. And today we are joined by one of my really, really, really good friends, Vicky from Rockstars and Royalty back in Australia. But you haven't always been in Australia, have you, Vic?
No, I'm from England and I moved to Australia nearly 10 years ago now, to Canberra.
And what brought you over?
Love. I met an Aussie and I followed him back here.
And I met you through my time. I was a store manager of a bridal store and you came in looking for red shoes for your wedding day.
Yeah, to go with my wedding dress, and we got chatting, yeah. And you told me you were a photographer and a graphic designer, and that if I ever needed stuff doing, that get in touch. So I did, and we did a shoot. Well, not long after that, wasn't it? That we did our first shoot together.
9 years later, we're still working together.
Yeah. I believe it's 9 years ago. It's just gone so fast.
All right. So how did Rockstars and Royalty evolve for you? Where have you come from?
I've been making one-off couture dresses for the last 18 years. So I had a shop and a business in the UK called Devotion. When I moved to Australia, I packed it all up, shipped it all over, and started again here, really. And at that point, I really sort of focused in on the styles that I love doing and rebranded as Rockstars and Royalty. And in the 10 years since, I've got a really great following both locally and online, internationally and throughout Australia. And probably about a couple of years ago, it got to the point where demand for my style of dresses was really growing. I was getting a lot of inquiries from people who were overseas or interstate who love my style of dresses, but they couldn't come and see me for fittings that were needed for a full couture dress. I was also getting a lot of inquiries from people who love my dresses, but they just couldn't afford the couture price point of them. So I started thinking of ways that I could bring the Rockstars and Royalty style and that an element of that couture experience to an online platform and bring the dresses and to more people, make them more affordable for more people, more accessible, but still getting that little piece of my styling and my gowns. And so this is where the idea really started from, to give girls the, or customers, I'm not branding anything by gender actually, because I want everyone to be able to buy my dresses. So I came up with the idea that if customers could mix and match different elements of the dress to really personalize it, and to really reflect their own personal style, they're still getting a one-off dress, not the full couture individually designed dress, but they're still getting enough elements that they can make this dress a one-off and really make it their own. And to bring an element of the couture fitting to it, originally I wanted to do completely one-off patterns, but it's just too complicated to do online. So what I've come up with my solution to get a better fit for everyone is that I'm mixing and matching sizes at the bust, waist and hips. So you can measure yourself, pick the closest size for your measurements at bust, waist and hips, and I'll mix and match. So if you're a size 14 bust and a size 12 waist and a size 16 hips, I'll make the patterns to fit those three sizes. I'm also doing with all the long dresses, you included in the price is custom length. So if you're short or tall, or if you want it to stop mid-shin rather than being long, I'll cut that long skirt to the size that you need.
And you also do a lot of your own dyeing as well, don't you?
Yeah, I dye a lot of lace. I love doing, I'm really into ombre at the minute and dyeing things ombre. So I spend a lot of time stood on a stool over my cooker in the kitchen, dipping lace in and out of boiling pans of dye. Watched everyone's amusement.
Is your kitchen still black?
It's not too bad. The grout between the tiles could do with a little bit of a touch-up, let's say. But never mind. It's the perils of artistic pursuit. I'd rather have dirty grout than not do fun stuff like dyeing fabric.
And I love where Rockstars and Royalty is heading too, because you said, I'm not sure if everyone picked up, that you're not actually specifying a sex for your gowns. You're not choosing a feminine or a masculine route. You're actually opening it up to both.
Oh, definitely. I want my dresses and accessories as well. With the flip side, I'm not calling the ties and bow ties men's accessories. They're just accessories. I want everyone to feel comfortable coming to the Rockstars and Royalty website and choosing a dress or an accessory that suits their style, regardless of their gender. I'm also not categorizing anything as plus size. I've banned the words plus size. All the designs are going to be available in all the sizes. I'm not saying, oh, so you're these sizes, you can wear these styles. You're a bigger size, so you can wear these styles. I don't believe in telling people what they can and can't wear. So at the minute, all the dresses are available in size Australian 8 to 18. I want to expand that range so everything's in a 4 to 28, which is, I think, US 0 to 24. And again, all mix and match. The skirts are all available in those sizes already. We're working on patterning the dresses up to bigger sizes and then adding more styles as well. I'm also not categorising anything by event. So nothing's going to be split into wedding dresses, bridesmaids dresses, formal dresses. Again, it will be up to my customers to choose the style and the combinations within that style that suits them for their event. One person might want a short pink sequin dress as a party dress. Someone else might want a short pink sequin dress as their wedding dress. And that's totally up to them. What I'm going to do on the site is give people sort of ideas, and I'm going to start doing some blogs and videos showing, okay, here's one dress, here's how you can style it for a wedding, here's how you can style it for red carpet, here's how you can style it for another event, for a party. So people know that they can choose what they want and it can be appropriate for their event, however they want to wear it. I also want to encourage people to buy these dresses as investment pieces, so show them how they can wear it again and make it look different. I'm quite anti fast fashion and cheap fashion. I really want to raise awareness of, make people think about how they consume, how they shop, especially for clothing. I think the fashion industry at the minute is still very geared towards fast fashion, towards buying something cheap, wearing it once and throwing it away, moving on to the next style. And I think that's a really, really unsustainable way to shop and to manufacture. All the fashion manufacturers who are producing clothing in bulk, there's such a huge amount of waste. I think I read recently that 1/3 of all mass produced clothing doesn't even end up in the shops. It just goes straight into a landfill. And then if you think about the waste from stores as well, the stuff that doesn't get sold, what happens to it? Where does it go? So my business model of on-demand manufacturing means there is no waste. Everything's made completely to order. I don't have a warehouse full of stock sitting around. So the environmental impact of clothing is something that's really, really dear to me, and I'm really hoping to encourage people to think differently. And along those lines, as I scale production, as the business grows, I will be looking for an overseas manufacturer, but I'm going to be really careful about who I find to do it. It has to be somewhere that manufactures ethically. It has to be somewhere where the factory is safe, where they pay their workers well, and I need to be able to show my customers where their clothes are being made and how they're being made as well, and work with the factories to reduce our carbon footprint and things like that. So the environmental impact of manufacturing and of fashion is something that's something else I'd like to raise awareness of and hopefully make people think about how they consume differently in their everyday lives.
And I know you've been talking to a lot of other like investors and business people who have said your business model is like no other that they've seen, just because of all these parts that you're putting together.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. There's a few places that are doing custom clothing. There's a few places that are doing sort of different elements of what I'm doing, but I haven't found any direct competition of anyone who's put all of these different elements together in one place. So yeah. Hopefully I'm creating something unique and hopefully successful.
So where is your brand going to evolve to? Like what do you want to actually draw out and pursue in like 5 years' time?
I want to become an international brand. I'm about to start pitching for my next round of investment. I was lucky enough to be selected for an accelerator program here in Canberra earlier on this year. I was part of the Griffin Accelerator, which gave me the investment and the mentoring to get started, which was really exciting because I'd always thought of the world of startups as being very male orientated and very tech orientated. So for this pink-haired fashion weirdo to get accepted onto an accelerator program as a startup was a huge moment for me. And out of the five teams chosen for the Griffin Accelerator this year, four of those teams were female sole founders, which I think was a huge, huge step forward for women, for business, and for the startup community as well. We've all been completely accepted, embraced by the startup community here in Canberra. My mentors on the Griffin Accelerator have been just amazing at helping me get going. The ongoing help is just amazing as well. And being part of the startup community here in Canberra has just, I couldn't have done it without them. Really couldn't have. So for anyone out there who's got a business idea, if they think they've got this something unique, something new, something scalable, go and ask for help. There are people out there who are willing to give their time, their money, or their advice just to help you get going. And hopefully, as my business grows, that's something I can give back to other people coming through as well. Just Be is a kind of social thing for change that it's just an idea at the minute. I haven't actually started working on it. I've started just thinking about it. It's come from the idea. It came from the website and Rockstars and Royalty being a brand that it wants to encourage people to be themselves, to feel comfortable being who they are, buying what and wearing what they want to wear. So as well as promoting that on the website, I thought there's a bigger message here that I'd like to really get out to help encourage people to be themselves, to be who they are. And I started talking to people about the idea, and so many people have got stories about incidents that have happened to them or to their friends based purely on their appearance, whether it's your appearance because that's how you were born or your appearance because that's how you choose to look. There's so many negative, awful things happening in the world, and there's so many people who don't feel like they can be themselves or express themselves how they want to. So Just Be is kind of a twofold thing. Part of it is to encourage people to just be yourself, follow your dreams, be who you are. And part of it is also to encourage tolerance of others to not, well, it starts at school when kids get bullied for wearing glasses or being the ginger kid or being different, you know? And it's just carries on through life. I was thinking back to the number of my goth friends who've been beaten up walking home from the pub just purely based on appearance. And this happens day in, day out around the world. And I want Just Be to be something that encourages tolerance and encourages people to be who they want to be and hopefully change the world so that they can be who they want to be without any negative reactions that go along with it at the minute. So hopefully it's something I've sort of worked on, and we've done a photo shoot. I've got some friends, I've got a photographer, hair and makeup artist involved so far. I've been talking to a lot of people who have had experience or know people who have had experiences, people who have always wanted to wear something or do something but have never quite had the courage to do it. So I'm hoping to interview people, to do some makeovers with people, and things like that, and hopefully spread awareness and help people to encourage people to be themselves.
Yeah, that's right. I used to have a couple of gentlemen that came into the bridal store when I was store manager, and all they wanted to do was just come in and try on the gowns. They didn't obviously want to do it at home for fear of being caught by wives and partners, but yeah, it was a regular
Secret, I had clients back when I had my shop in England who I made corsets for, who were men, but it was all very, very secretive. I had to shut the curtains and see them in private, and it was very, they were very worried about what the world would say if they went out in public like it, which is makes me really sad that they're we're living in a society where people are too scared to be who they really want to be or who they really are.
Yeah, and the messages that were being sent through media don't help either, because one week you're too big, one week you're too small, one week you have too much makeup.
And... yeah, that's I want to wage war on these magazines as well. That's another goal. That's it's just ridiculous. They're just so judgmental of people's appearances all the time. They're, yeah, she's too fat, she's too thin, she needs plastic surgery, she's had too much plastic surgery, best dressed, worst dressed, who wore it better. It's just constantly judging people or putting them off against each other, and just let people do what they want. Just it's nobody else's damn business how you want to look or what you want to wear. So just enough. And people read it in magazines and I think they think, oh, it's all right if a magazine can say it, then it's all right for me to say it. And you hear people on the bus or just in cafes just judging other people constantly purely based on their appearance, and it's just it's not on. It's really not on.
Megan and I've talked about this.
I still get it now. I ignore it. I always have. I've always dressed how I want to dress and dyed my hair and done what I want to do. And I couldn't care less what anyone else says. But there's a lot of people out there who do care. And I don't even hear the comments half the time now. But, yeah, there's people who do take it to heart and do hide away who they really are because of it.
Megan and I have talked about this a few times about how you generate other people in your mind while you're sitting there, and whether you actually verbally say something or not doesn't matter, because you're still like making up a story in your head about that person and what they look like or what they're doing or how they're acting, and it can be
one
so
of the
wrong.
Things I think would be a really interesting experiment to do is take one person and dress them in different ways and send them into the same situation, kind of like Pretty Woman, that sort of thing. So, and see how reactions differ and whether they do differ. Maybe we're wrong. Maybe they won't differ. But I think that could be a really interesting social experiment to see how people get treated differently and if they do get treated differently purely based on how they're dressed.
Yeah. Definitely.
So it's the start of a big project as well, alongside running a startup. So
you just have a little bit to do.
I think I'm really excited about Just Be. I think it could be something hopefully that changes lives.
Vicky, you're a mom. Could you, I'm sure some of our audience are moms as well and business owners.
Yeah.
Could you share with us, how do you do it all? Like, be a mom and be a business owner and do it all.
Coffee and wine. it's crazy. But it's doable. I work from home most of the time, so I've got employees now, so I've got people working with me. But I dart out, I do the school runs, I get up early to make lunch boxes, and I generally work till probably 10:30 at night to get everything done. And it's bonkers. It's bonkers. My to-do list often gets transferred over to the next week. But I wouldn't have it any other way. I'm not the kind of person who can just sit on the sofa and watch telly and do nothing. I've always got to be doing something. And even if I do sit down and watch telly, I'll be writing my next blog post while I'm doing it or something like that. I'm really good at multitasking, and I'm really bad at just sitting and feeling like I'm not achieving anything. I have to be doing something all the time. Otherwise, it's not really guilt. It's just there's always things to do. So, it's difficult, but it's doable. So,
I love that. I'm
lucky. Lily's a really good girl. Like now, she's school holidays, so she's in the living room colouring in and watching YouTube videos with their headphones on and while I'm talking to you guys. She's a really good girl. She's really good at entertaining herself when the need arises. So, and then this afternoon we're going Christmas shopping, so that's her reward for letting me work and talk to you guys in peace.
Well, I have to say, Jules introduced me to your brand a couple months ago. And she's like, I just got this dress and you have to check out my friends. And I started following you on Instagram and Facebook. And I'm just like, every day I'm just looking for that like picture. Like, what's she going to show next? You posted a video like a month ago where somebody was twirling in one of your dresses. And it was just like the boomerang thing where she's twirling. And
I love those slow-mo. I'm obsessed with those slow-mo videos. I need to do some more, actually.
It was so
funny. Photos don't capture that sparkle. So videos are brilliant.
I love it. So I really hope that our audience will go and check out your dresses. I know I told Jules that I want to invest in one because I see it as an investment. Like you said, it's not like a quick, you know, like this is a dress I'm going to wear one time to a submarine birthday ball and it's going to be gone. No, it's going to be like something that I purchase and I wear often.
Excellent. Excellent.
No, I second that. I've got two of Vic's pieces now and Taylor is eyeing up the latest Stargazer one that I wore in
Really?
She's like, Mum, as soon as I can fit that, I'm wearing it somewhere. I'm like, yeah, not sure. I wear it another little time. But I often find her in my closet now in the tutu, like spinning around, having a wonderful time. Like, will you get out of my dress?
That's so cute. Lil comes and hangs out in the studio with me when I'm sewing, and she started taking like the offcuts of fabric and cutting them up and. It's so cute. And she's been making or sellotaping the little bits of fabric together to make little dresses for her dolls. So maybe I've got a future designer on my hands here. I love it. She's really creative.
Apple doesn't fall far.
No, she's into music. She's learning the violin at the minute. And she goes busking. I take her busking. And she's saving up for an electric violin at the minute. We went busking yesterday. She'd probably bus for about 20 minutes, maybe $50. It's like she went and spent a little bit of it and the rest of it's gone in her piggy bank, ready to buy herself an electric violin. The initiative and the drive behind it, it's just fantastic. And she's 6, by the way. I love her. Love her to bits. She's so, so clever.
She had to have learned it somewhere, though.
Cool. So something else was a really big exciting thing for me this year was that I actually won a grant here in Canberra, which was a $30,000 ACT government grant for innovation in technology, and that's now being used to fund the next stage in development of the website. So the website as you see it today, it was just our sort of simplest, easiest version to get up online, to get selling. Eventually, it's going to be a full interactive website where the picture of the dress changes or the picture of the accessory changes as you choose the different options in it. So the grant is funding the sort of first stage of that, which will be a simple illustration that changes as you pick your different elements so you can actually see what you're choosing. So that's all. I had a call with the developers this morning just to clarify some of the things we're doing, and they're starting to work on that for me now. So that's my next big sort of step at the minute, is this next stage in the website development. Then hopefully that will give me what I need to go and pitch for my next level of investment. So
that's awesome.
Exciting times here, really exciting.
That's amazing. And you've changed your tagline as well for Rockstars and Royalty too.
Yes. Be unique, be confident, be you.
And that definitely comes back to everything that you've already been talking about empowering everybody to be themselves.
Definitely, definitely. And I wanted to capture that feeling. It's another element of the couture dresses that I had to try and find a way to bring to the new collections, was that feeling when people put on their dress for the first time and you see them stand up taller and just go, I feel amazing. I feel really good. And seeing people put on, I did it with a photo shoot a few months ago. I had a size 18 girl modeling for me and I put her in this red sequin strapless dress, and we did it up, and she just went, I feel amazing. I didn't think I could wear something like this, but I feel so good. And you could just see her stance and her body language change. And that's the feeling I want to bring to people, just to make them go, no, I can wear this. I can look awesome wearing this. And I feel like $1 million.
I know that feeling very well. It's so nice. Can you explain, if you're allowed to, your technique from why your gowns fit better than everything else? Like, what structure do you...
All my couture dresses were corseted, but with the new price point and the way I'm manufacturing at the minute, everything's still being made by me and a couple of seamstresses here in Canberra at the moment. I had to leave the corsetry behind for now. My strapless dresses are still very boned. They're still very structured, but they're not full corsets like they used to be. But the corsetry is something I really want to bring back into the dresses in the future. So that will come when I've got a factory somewhere. So it's been a really steep learning curve getting the patterns and the sizing right. It's something I'm still working on now. We've actually just tweaked all of the patterns and the sizing this week just to try and improve the fit even further. I just want to give people the confidence that their measurements and the dress go together. So when the dress arrives, it's going to fit them as well as it can. I've also just added the option to have a lace-up back on all the dresses rather than a zip-up back. So there's... A element of being able to sort of pull it in and out a couple of inches to get the fit right as well, if that's what you want. So I'm just working on my first sample for that at the minute. That should be finished this week, so I can photograph it and get some images of that up. So check it. There'll be pictures on Instagram.
Yay!
As soon as it's done. Yeah. So that's all half finished on my desk at the minute. So that's tomorrow's job when I'm back in the studio.
Well, I know what the back of my next one is going to be then.
I'm constantly trying to add elements that really improve the fit, and I use really good quality fabrics as well. So the sequin dresses are all lined in a really lovely satin, a really heavy satin. It's not cheap thin lining fabric inside of them, so yeah, good quality dresses that hang really beautifully. Hopefully just those little elements of design and choice just hopefully take them to that next sort of level up and make them really worth the price point. And another element, this one everyone's gone crazy for, all the dresses you can add pockets. I never thought pockets would just go off like they have. I put pockets in the first dress and I put a picture online, and everyone just went bonkers for pockets. They're so rare in dresses. Pockets have been a hit. I think there's only been like two orders or something that haven't had pockets in since then. So there you go, pockets. I wore the long Stargazer dress to a red carpet event here in Canberra, and I didn't need to take a bag. So I had my phone and my business cards in one pocket, my car keys in the other pocket, and that was all I needed. And it all fitted in there. So, and you can't see, it was brilliant. So.
I wish I'd put pockets in mine, actually. That was where I went.
Next one. New pockets in the next one.
I actually went, oh, where's the... Oh, they're not there yet.
Cool.
What got you into creating couture gowns in the first place? Like, what excited you the most about doing that? That's what I want to know. Like, how'd you get into doing this beautiful work?
So, like I said, I've always been a bit different. I've always done my own thing right from when I was a kid. And I didn't want to wear the same stuff as my friends. I always had my own ideas. So my mum sewed. She made beautiful dresses for me and my sister when we were little. When I was really small, I used to make like hand sew stuff for my Barbie dolls. And my mum taught me how to sew. And my mum has always encouraged my art, my creativity. She's always bought me whatever I wanted. So if I said, I want to make this dress, we'd go to the fabric shop and she'd buy me the pattern and the fabric and everything I needed, and she'd help me make it and just let me experiment with making what I want. And she let me leave the house wearing all this terrible stuff that I made when I was really young. So thanks, Mum. But it was doing that that I learned. I'm completely self-taught. I haven't studied fashion. I studied metalwork and jewellery. I trained as a jeweller. But the clothing was, making clothes was always what I did in the evenings for myself. And while I was doing my degree, I wanted a corset, but I was a poor student, so I couldn't buy a corset. So I thought I'd make myself a corset, you know, because that was simple. And this was mid-90s, so it was before there was YouTube tutorials or anything like that to show me how to do it. I had no idea where to buy the boning or anything like that from. So I bought it was a Vogue pattern that was vaguely bodicey shaped, and I altered it to give it a waist and made myself my first corset out of PVC, because, you know, start with the simple materials. And it was stretchy. I don't know what I was thinking. I've still got it somewhere. I should take photos of it, actually. And then while I was doing my degree, my love for corsets just grew. I ended up writing my dissertation for my degree on corsetry and the role of the corset in the modern world, as it were. And then when I finished my degree, I got a job in a fabric shop, which was just deadly, because all my wages just went on fabric. And it was at that point that it really got to the point where my friends are saying, can you make this for me? Can you make this for me? And I realized that my real passion was in designing and making clothes rather than designing and making jewelry, which is what I've just spent 3 years learning how to do. So from there, I was working first full time and then sewing in the evenings. Then I managed to start working part time. I had enough orders to do that. And I was doing all sorts. I was doing, you know, club wear. Like, it was when the cyber goth stuff was really big. So I was doing big fluffy leg warmers and all sorts of crazy clothes with big fur things on the shoulders, fake fur, not real fur. And it got to the point where I had enough work coming in. I decided I wanted to open my own shop. And it was at that point that I realized that doing the big dresses, the elaborate wedding dresses and elaborate gowns was what my real passion was. So I left all the sort of cyber goth and alternative and club wear stuff behind and just decided to concentrate on dresses and wedding dresses. And I opened my shop in 2001 in Portsmouth in England. And yeah, that's what I've been doing ever since until now. So
do you still do custom gowns if somebody wanted to, say, have you create a wedding dress for them? Because, I mean, somebody that's selfish and wants to know about herself, because I might have a vow renewal in, like, you know, 4 years.
No, I've had to stop taking orders. I made the decision around March this year when I was applying for the Griffin Accelerator, and this idea was really getting off the ground, because it was a full-time and then some job working on all these couture gowns. So I decided there had to be a cutoff where I just said, no, I'm not taking on any more orders. So I've got, I've finished all my orders now, apart from one headpiece for a wedding that I've got to finish off now. And then that's it. That's the end of the couture. So there's just not enough hours in the day to do everything. So I had to leave that part behind, which is really hard, because that was my income. That was how I was paying the bills. And at the minute, I'm in startup phase. So it's, yeah, I'm not paying myself a wage at the minute, which is really difficult and stressful. I'm living off my savings and hoping that I either get this next round of investment, which will sort of help tide me over, or that I get to the point where I can pay myself a small amount. That's all part of startup life, unfortunately. We'll get there.
I feel you on that. So what inspired you most to go in the direction you're going in now, from the custom couture to now doing these dresses that they're still customed? Because, I mean, they're still going to somebody's, you can add different things like pockets, and then you have the overlay and all of that. And you even have the, what is it? Underskirt. I forgot what it's called.
The little petticoats. Yeah.
And so what made you decide to go in the direction you're going in now?
Because the scalability of it, with the couture, it was only ever going to be really small and really local. There's only so many dresses I could make a year, whereas if I take it in this direction, it's something that I can scale up and really take as a big international brand, hopefully. That's my goal, is to be an international brand.
I was going to ask, how far now have you seen your off the rack gowns head? Like, what countries have you seen them?
US and UK. So UK will be the furthest away one's gone so far. At the minute, we had to pull the currency converter off the website because it wasn't working properly. So at the minute, all my advertising's been based in Australia because everything's in Australian dollars. As soon as the currency converter's back up and running, then I'll start promoting overseas again.
I love it.
One of the little hiccups, early hiccups.
Yay!
We've seen crazy things at checkout, and suddenly things are like $150,000 when it converted for some reason. So we're like, whoa, we need to remove that. But the developers are sorting that out for me and getting it back up and going. So hopefully after Christmas, that'll all be back up, and then I can start advertising internationally as well, and hopefully get some more orders from overseas and see things going all over the world. Like, it's exciting to think where my dresses might be worn.
Well, where can our audience connect with you and see these dresses? And by the time this airs, which will be end of January, hopefully that will all be up. So anybody that's all
over. Oh, I hope so.
Yeah. So where can
hopefully
they...
some of the new developments will be up as well, and there'll be some changes happening. So my web address is www.rockstarsroyalty.com. And you can find me on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter as well. Facebook is / Rockstars and Royalty. Instagram is Rockstars and Royalty. And Twitter is Rockstars Royalty, because Rockstars Royalty was too long for Twitter. Damn them and their implementing a maximum name of length. So it's Rockstars with no A.
Mine's
Rockstars.
Mine's Meg Hall Motivate on Twitter and Snapchat for that reason, because Megan Hall Motivation
is too. Oh, yeah, Snapchat, I'm the same. I never use Snapchat. I haven't quite got the hang of it. My 6-year-old daughter sends snaps to people without me knowing. I'm still learning.
Yeah, I can't do Snapchat, but Taylor loves it. Like, can you teach mom how to do it? She goes, no. Like,
I've got a 19-year-old production assistant. She'll give me a lesson.
So what does authenticity mean to you?
What does authenticity mean to you? It means being yourself. It means being true to yourself. It means being, I guess it comes back to Rockstars and Royalty and to Just Be. It means being who you really are.
I love that. How do you make time for self-care?
I don't.
Welcome to my clone. Vic and I are very similar in many ways, and that is one.
Oh, dear. No, there is no time. I try and get enough sleep. That's my self-care thing, is sleep. I like sleep. I'm really bad at getting up in the mornings. I'm not a morning person.
I tell my clients.
But I force myself to go to bed at a decent time.
I tell my clients your good day starts the night before by getting enough sleep. I made Jewel start going to bed earlier, too, because she's staying up to, like, all hours of the night working on her craziness.
Yeah, that's creative brain as well, but...
Yeah, that's what I... If I didn't force myself, I'd rather work. And if I didn't have to keep business hours and do school runs, I'd work all night and sleep all day if I could. That's my natural hours. I guess my other self-care is just watching what I eat, making sure I eat healthy. I went vegan about 6 months ago. For health reasons, and also, well, it's become more about environmental reasons recently as well, after watching Before the Flood and other documentaries about the impact we're having on our planet. It's definitely something that's sticking. I feel better for doing it, and it's made me so much more aware of what I'm eating, my diet so much better, and that's given me more energy. So that's my other thing of self-care, is just really, really watching what I eat. and making sure I eat lots of fruits and veggies and lovely healthy things. So coconut yogurt is my latest obsession.
Oh, we have it over here. The kids love it. So good.
Oh my God, it's so good. So good. Coconut yogurt with strawberries and blueberries and maple syrup is my favorite food at the moment.
What is your biggest struggle as a modern woman?
Probably the fact that men and women still aren't equal. It's still a man's world. It's changing slowly, but not fast enough. And I think the more women we can encourage to be in business, to follow their dreams, to stand up and show that we're worth listening to, the more we can help that change. The more we need more female CEOs in the world. We need more female business owners. We need more women to go, no, I've got a great idea. I can do something about it. So girls, get out there, ask for help, find the people who can help you, find the investors who believe in your idea, find the people who believe in your idea and just go for it. We can change this world.
That's what Megan and I found with Modern Femme in May, that we had this group of women that said, why aren't you doing that? Why haven't you started doing that? Why don't you go and try and we'll support you?
Yeah.
And it's been a life changer.
Yeah. The support is out there. There's so many people. And men and women, I'm not saying just women. Guys, you need to get out there too. Don't sit on these good ideas. And there's so many people out there willing to help you, which is what I've learned this year. After years of working alone at home, this is the first time I've sort of really gone out there. And just tell people your ideas. That whole idea of as soon as you share your dream, your idea, it almost validates it. And you can sit and think about it for as long as you want, but that it's a scary first step, because I've walked in when I met the mentors at Griffin. That first day that I walked in with this crazy idea, and I was expecting to go, oh, don't be bonkers sort of thing. And I walked in and they went, okay, you need to do this now and you need to do this. And they didn't go, oh, you're crazy, go away. They went, no, we can see the potential in this, but we want you to work through it. We want you to validate it. We want you to talk to your customers. And just as soon as you say it out loud and as soon as someone says, oh, I like it, oh, I think that's got potential, or I think that's a really good idea, I think, oh, the world needs this, then it becomes real and you go, okay, how can I take my next step? How can I find either the help I need to take the next step? How can I just start to make this real? And it's a slow process. It's a long journey, but it's really exciting. And if you get stuck, just ask. There's people everywhere who are willing to help you and just confirm what you're thinking is awesome.
So what is one tip that you have for creating positive relationships?
I think this comes back to the honesty and authenticity question. You've got to be open, honest, and don't pretend you know something when you don't know it. If you need help or you need guidance in an area, ask for it. Ask for help. I think especially in business, there's so many things I don't know. And instead of trying to just blag it and pretend that I do know what I'm talking about, okay, I don't know that, I'll have to go and ask someone. And I think in a business relationship, so the relationship I've got with my investors and my mentors, I think they'd rather hear, I don't know, can you help me? I don't know, can you find someone who can help me, than me trying to blag my way through it. So I think honesty and authenticity and knowing your limitations, I don't want to set limitations, but knowing limitations to your knowledge and getting help to fill in those gaps helps to build, really honest and open relationships.
What is one motto that you live by?
My motto for a long time, which was given to me when I was at uni, was never knowingly underdressed, which was a play on, there's a department store called John Lewis in the UK, and their motto is never knowingly undersold. And one of my tutors on my degree gave me the motto never knowingly underdressed, and that's still true. I'd rather be way overdressed and way underdressed for any event.
Always. Both Jules and I are Navy spouses, Australian, US, but still Navy spouses, we have to go to all these fancy things. And yeah. anytime somebody asks me, what should you wear? I'm like, always go for the thing that you might be a little overdressed. You don't want to show up at one of these functions and be the girl that you're, everybody's like, why? Like, why?
Yeah.
Jules with the tracky pants and the hoodie. Jules, you're meant to have at least worn jeans.
I love it. Well, Vicky, I don't know if a motto to live by. That's really, I'm going to think of one now. I'm going to make my own motto.
Well, Vicky, thank you so much for being on our podcast. I'm sure our
thanks for having me.
Our audience is going to just eat this up, and they need to follow you everywhere and get one of your gorgeous gowns. Oh,
thank you. And yeah, thanks for talking to me. It's really exciting to be able to share my story about where I'm up to and how far I've come already. So it's exciting times.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Inspired Women Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, write us a review, and share this out with your friends and family. See you next week.